Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Borders, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer and part of the DynamoTheory.com podcast network. I am Rudy.
And I am Rodrigo.
Man, Rodrigo, a ton of soccer coming our way, my friend, my brother, my everything. what's it called? Plenty of CONCACAF soccer, man. We have the qualifiers starting up soon. I think you are probably excited. I know I am excited. This, you know, it's the beginning of the end for some teams, and it starts to become a lot of fun. But before we get started, Rodrigo, how's your week going so far, man?
Yeah, man, definitely excited to get into this phase of the qualifiers. But yeah, man, my week was good. I actually ended up this past weekend on Friday, we watched Venom versus Carnage. Pretty good movie. You know, gotta keep up with my Marvel movies and superheroes and all kind of, you know, little distractions here and there. Those of you who want to go check it out, you know, I recommend it. There's a nice little thing at the end, so stay at the till the very end of the movie. But yeah, it was a good weekend overall. We had a wedding to go to, so that was fun. And then just got a little bit of rest on Sunday. What about you, man? How you guys been?
Yeah, it was good. We I think I mentioned we did some stuff. Saturday, we took the kids to like a place outside of like the Houston limits. I think it's in Humble, called Old McDonald Farm. It was actually pretty cool. We've never been. It was from where we live now, it takes about an hour to get there, which is crazy. But it was all fun. And then it rained like it was never going to stop. It was the worst thing. Like, I got completely soaked. My wife got completely soaked. Luckily, the kids were okay. But man, even like driving back home, it was a mess. And then Sunday was my 32nd birthday, which are making me feel so old after 30. But we went to a really cool restaurant in San Leon called Pier 6. So when you're in town, Rodrigo, I'll take you there. I don't remember if you're big on seafood or not, but man, that place is pretty dang good.
Yeah, I mean, I can eat some seafood. If you're paying,
I'm yeah, I'll take you there, man. I'll definitely take you. It was good. I think they're kind of, I mean, it's funny because San Leon, like, you drive there, you're like, where the heck am I? It looks very hood. And then once you get there, apart from being hood, it just feels like you're in like a different, like you're like in Honduras or, you know, more like, because you're going towards like the water. But so it's like very weird. It's like, I don't know. It has a really weird vibe to it. Cause not like Galveston, even though it's kind of like towards the edge. But anyways, the food was really good. Had some, the oysters were pretty spot on, man. So yeah, when you're in town, man, we need to. And we were actually planning to go to the Kansas City match, which I'm glad we did not, because that was no fun for the Dynamo. But anyway, we'll save those points for later. Yeah, so I guess unless you want to add something else, dude, we can go ahead and get started with the World Cup qualifiers.
We can go ahead.
All right. Well, CONCACAF, again, starting up three more matches that, to me, it's they're critical because – you know, when you're 6 points away, like right now, it is between the first place and the last place. Another 9 points will make a big gap for whoever is below like fifth place and down to try to make it back up to the at least to the first place. Right. But we'll go ahead and get started. I think we'll start in reverse. Right now, Jamaica is sitting in eighth place with only 1 point. To go through it, Jamaica will end up facing I had it open right here and it went away. Oh, there it is. So Jamaica does not have like easy tasks by any means. They will be playing the US in Austin. Then they'll go home and play Canada, and their last match will be away in Honduras. So to me, those are probably three of the toughest matches for Jamaica. And at this point, they cannot let points slip away, especially at home. It would be great for them to get at least 3 points, that being them winning in Kingston. But man, it's going to be tough. Just want to go through real quick and looking at their lineup, or sorry, the squad that they're bringing. Key players, as much as you want to give it to anybody else, I think their key players, Andre Blake. I don't know about you, Rodrigo, but this guy is just a beast and keeps them in games as much as possible. So he would be key to stop people from scoring on them and keep them on track on the matches. And when it comes to the players they're going to be missing, we kind of knew this was going to happen. A lot of the guys that play in England are not going to be a part of the squad for the reason that they just seem to not be getting play time due to the regulations. But Rodrigo, you want to add anything on Jamaica?
Yeah, like you mentioned, Andre Blake, it's been a big part. I believe I saw something this weekend that he ended up getting his 10th clean sheet. So, you know, that's a good thing, obviously, being a goalkeeper and at that level. But yeah, I mean, as far as the Premier League players, I think the main one missing from this is Leon Bailey. But other than that, I feel like they have a pretty solid, you know, this Premier call-ups. Mikel Antonio, he's obviously going to be there. He's been called up. You also have Timaru from Rangers. And then Ethan Pinnock from Brentford. That's been the, I guess, a surprising team. In the new addition to the Premier League, you know, all of those Premier League players have been playing pretty well, and I think it's time for them to start turning it around. They do have a tough matches coming up, but they need to do something. I believe, you know, more than anything this week around, if they, you know, try to maintain their hope alive.
But, you know, that's what I was looking at, because looking at the squad that they were bringing, I did not see a lot of those guys that you're mentioning. That's why I didn't see Ethan Pinnock. It looks like it wasn't there, nor Antonio. So
the thing I saw was on their Twitter account.
Did they get dropped? Like
3 days ago.
Yeah, and I didn't really see anything. But either way, I think it's not going to be an easy task for sure, but the players that they're going to bring up are, you know, like most Jamaican teams are very scrappy, and they'll use their speed and agility to go through and get the job done.
The squad is from 5 days ago for this October. And I mean, all the players I mentioned, they're there. I think the main one missing would be Leon Bailey.
Yeah, maybe the site that I'm looking at is not up to date. Maybe not. I'm on their Instagram now, trying to see. Yeah, you're right. Never mind. Take that back. They have a very good squad. So, but again, those matches are going to be difficult for sure. So, Giz, we'll go jump into El Salvador. La Selecta. They're sitting in seventh place, have 2 points currently after tying two of their first three matches at home, which, again, kind of sucks that they let some points go. But next they'll be playing again at home versus Panama, their first match. Then they'll be playing away at Costa Rica. And lastly, they'll be playing home versus Mexico. So another plenty of home action for this team that needs to really start gaining some momentum by earning some big 3-point matches earned if they want to have an opportunity to make it to the World Cup again. There's still plenty of time, right, Rodrigo? But you don't want to play all the way to the end to find out if you make it or not. But anything you want to add on El Salvador?
No, basically what you just mentioned. You know, they need to get some points soon. And, you know, obviously it's going to be tough, especially playing against Costa Rica in Costa Rica. And then, you know, bring in Mexico in for the home game. And even Panama, I mean, they've been playing well. So they have probably, I guess, one of the toughest schedules as well. And but, you know, their squad seems to be doing pretty decent enough to hold some teams down. So it's really just going to depend on those home games.
Yeah. And like I said, you do not want to continue to lose points for sure. And to me, their key player would probably be Eric Zabaleta, the defender out of Toronto FC. I mean, the guy, you know, it's one of those, it's really between him and Alex Rodon for me, but those two guys have proven to be very good. And when they're on it, the team performs very well. Rodrigo, what do you think about that? You think those are the key players to watch, or
Yeah, I agree. I've seen a few good things from Amando Moreno, the New Mexico United player. So I don't know. I mean, you know, it's just different things, you know, bringing up to this team. Alex Roldan, of course, you know, he's probably your key player right now, playing at a really high level. So yeah, I mean, this is kind of those players that need to show up for this game.
Yeah, and like I said, the two of their matches are being played at home, and I mean, you expect them to get 6 points out of it. But to be fair, there's no easy match in this last final round to make it into the World Cup. I'm hoping the best for El Salvador, but it's not gonna be easy for sure. But you just never know at this point. Real quick, we'll go ahead and jump into our next. Sorry. Our next team, that being Honduras, another team. Well, Honduras sitting in sixth place with 2 points. They performed well. I really thought they were going to play much or get some points out of the US match. And the US flipped it on its head. But one thing for Honduras, for me, it's they do play Costa Rica at home, their first match, which I believe they'll get points out of it this time. And then they'll go and play Mexico in Mexico City, which would be a tough match. But Honduras plays so well against Mexico, so I wouldn't be surprised if they do earn some points out of it. And then they come back home and play Jamaica. Again, you know, everybody to make it into, or whoever needs to make it to the World Cup, the only way to do it is to get all 3 points at home and try to sneak some points from away matches. And the good thing, Rodrigo, or key player that I see that has been missing for a while is Albert Ellis. Albert Ellis, I believe, was called up. It looks like he's finally getting some playing time. He's a little healthy. And Romel Quioto, too. I mean, the dude scored 2 goals in the last match he played with Montreal. So those two guys have been very good players, and I feel that you need them to get better. Rodrigo, you want to add anything on this?
Yeah, no. Like you mentioned, it's another team that needs to, you know, start picking things up. Yeah, about Albert Elise, I know he had a broken leg, right? And I think he's all good because he played what, 35 minutes, I
Yeah, I
see.
think he had a fracture when it after the late or after the second match of the
Gold
Gold
Cup.
Cup. Yeah.
Right.
And I think he had like a fracture.
Yeah, so that's good that he's back. I didn't know that until right now. I've been kind of trying to follow some of the French league, not because of Messi, but actually because I want PSG to not do well. That's kind of weird. But I've also followed, you know, Marseille and them. Didn't know he was back up playing. Yeah, I mean, I guess Costa Rica playing at home, you know, that should give them some confidence boost if they get those 3 points going into Mexico. So I think Honduras has a really favorable matchups to try to, you know, get a little bit more ahead in this qualifying stage.
Yeah, and again, it's, you know, they obviously we're used to seeing them go into the World Cup. They did miss out last World Cup in 2018. They had a pretty young team at the time. And this could be the time that they make it. Obviously, like you want to see players, especially in our case, being Dynamo fans, that we've seen so many Honduras go through the Dynamo. That it'd be good to see like an Albert Deliz make it to the World Cup and maybe jump into a bigger team that it is Bordeaux, but you never know. I'll move forward with the fifth place team, or currently in fifth place, Costa Rica, another team with 2 points, 2 draws, 1 loss. They will start their match with Honduras in Honduras, and then they'll go and play El Salvador at home, and then they'll play again the US in Columbus. So obviously, again, not easy matches by any means. You would think they would get probably 4 points out of the matchups, but no easy task to go and you know, beat or get some points in the US, especially in Columbus or in San Pedro Sula. We know how hard it is to play in Honduras for sure. I think players to watch, there's a few of the guys, I mean, that have been playing well. But I think Joel Campbell probably in their tagging tends to be their best player. And of course, Jonathan Moya has been playing decent as well. But to me, there's probably nothing better than Keylor Navas, you know, being able to hopefully be back with the squad. And we can finally see some very good goalkeeping. But Rodrigo, you want to add anything on Costa Rica?
Yeah. Navas is the key player that, you know, returning into this. So hopefully that's going to boost up their team, mostly their defense. You still have the experience from Brian Ruiz and other players as well. But I can see them. I'm not sure if they can get at least 4 points. I can see them at least getting a win in Costa Rica, maybe that draw in Honduras. U.S., obviously, they've been playing pretty well, and playing in the U.S., it's going to be tough. So I can at least see them getting 3 points this round.
Yeah, and like I said, if you add it up, like we've been saying, the only way that you can get points on the board are by winning at home. So 3 points sounds correct. That's why I said 4 could be a little bit more tricky, but that's, you would love for them to get 5. I mean, obviously you would love to get 5 points out of 3 matches. But if you could get 4, I think it'll suit them well. Which the number 4 brings the 4th team in the standings right now, which is Panama. They sit with 5 points currently, and they have been playing pretty well. I think we've spoken in the fact that they've been kind of like surprising for what we expected from them, being that it seemed like their golden generation of players that allowed them to make it to the first World Cup was kind of on the verge of exiting. And to an extent, that is correct. There's a lot of players that have not returned for this qualifier that were very important 4 years ago. But with that being said, they do start their first match playing in El Salvador, and they would go back home to El Estadio Rommel Fernandez and play the U.S., and then they would play their last match versus Canada in Toronto. Rodrigo, you look at that, and man, that is the worst probably travel out of all these matches, just because they have to go, well, from El Salvador to, I guess, Panama is not terrible, but then going to the U.S. and Columbus, it's pretty harsh. And yet again, I think you would expect for them to win at home. And honestly, I think they'll steal some points in El Salvador at this rate. So I could see them as well getting 4 points. Rodrigo, what do you think about Panama so far, and what do you expect the next 3 matches?
But I think you mean they're playing the U.S. in Panama, not Columbus, right? I don't know if you, but you're playing in El Salvador. It's going to be a tough, but the way Panama's been playing, they've been playing pretty well. Obviously, their key player, and also we miss him in the Dynamo, is Coco. He had been outstanding in this qualifiers. He could have been the difference maker in the Mexico game to give them the win. But unfortunately, he went out with the injury and it's been out ever since. The Panama versus U.S. game, I think that's going to be, we're going to see really where the level stands for Panama at that point, especially playing at home against the U.S., who has kind of struggled a little bit. And then, trying to close this out in Canada, it's kind of far ways to go. But to me, they've been playing one of the better games here.
Yeah, no, you're right. I didn't mean, I looked down and I saw Costa Rica, and that's why I said Columbus, not Panama. But you're right. I mean, I think they've been playing the best soccer out of all the teams, even though they are sitting in the spot they're sitting in right now in 4th place. They've been the most consistent for sure. And so it's been very pleasant to watch, and seeing a lot of their players play in maybe second division in Spain and stuff like that. It just looks very intriguing the way that their system is being run, and their coach is doing a fantastic job. You know, the guy from Denmark, I think his name is Thomas Christensen or something like that. But yeah, he's done a good job with all these guys that he's brought into his system, and you are seeing some great stuff out of Panama. But we'll move to the position number three, currently being filled by the U.S. With 5 points as well. And the U.S. Will have a good start to their match to a probably full Q2 stadium, brand new stadium in Austin against Jamaica. I expect them to get all 3 points there. The next match after that, playing in Panama, again, you're right, they may end up losing. But you just never know. The way Panama may control the game, and then the U.S. can flip it on its head like it did in Honduras. And lastly, they will close out this FIFA break playing against Costa Rica and Columbus, which is great to see Columbus, you know, with their new stadium. And they've always been, I guess, the best place for the U.S. to get points, especially during qualifiers. Not sure how cold it would be, but then tends to do some kind of part to it. Rodrigo, what do you think about the U.S.? What are you expecting? Who's your key player, man? And do you see any key players being missed?
Yeah, the U.S. definitely has some obviously players that are missing due to injury. That being, to me, the one that's always in the injury list, and that's Christian Pulisic. And then I guess one of the later ones was Gio Reyna, who's also going to be missing from this squad. And I believe John Brooks is going to be missing out. The good thing behind all that is Gianluca Busio was called up. I saw that he scored on Friday, his first goal in the Serie A. So yeah, it's good. You know, it's one of those guys that I do like, and I'm glad they finally called him up. I thought after the Gold Cup performance and everything, I thought he was one of those players that deserved to be called up. But apart from that, you know, hide your kids, hide your wives, because Weston McKennie's back. He's in this team. I guess, you know, he served his punishment after what apparently, allegedly, you know,
did. It's all hearsay, man.
But yeah, no, I mean, they have a good team. And yeah, and this is going to be, I think this is probably going to be their easiest FIFA week in terms of, you know, their location, where they're playing at, who they're bringing. I think this, they have a really favorable matchup with everybody here.
Well,
I
was going to say, especially in the fact that they have two home matches, so you expect them to get at least 6 points.
Yeah, and I mean, you start with a Jamaican team that's dead last in this group, which, you know, we know they have good players, but on paper, you can see that the U.S. should be able to win that. Panama probably is the hardest game here since it's away, and Panama has been playing really well. And then, you know, you're bringing Costa Rica to the U.S., and it's going to be probably one of those tough matches, but with the home field advantage, fans and everything, I think the U.S. should be able to pull a win out of that too.
Yeah, I agree. They have even with some players like Pulisic missing, I think to an extent Pulisic hasn't done much when he is on the field. So I don't think the U.S. will skip much of a beat when it comes to these next three matches. There's some very good players to watch, such as what's his name, Matthew Hoppe. And, you know, he's back from after he had was given the opportunity to go and play or, you know, get some rhythm with Mallorca after winning the Gold Cup. So it'd be good to see him. He looked like a very exciting player to continue watching. But with that, we will move to spot number two, currently being Canada with 5 points as well. And Canada will play Mexico, their first match in Estadio Azteca. Then they will go to their second match being played in Jamaica. So that's two rough back-to-back away matches. And then they close it out with a match in BOM Field versus Panama. Sadly, as much as I like Canada, and I believe that they do have a good squad. I expect them to probably get 4 points out of this matchup, but you never know. They can do an Aztecaso and beat Mexico at home or just gain a tie as well. It's going to be a fun match to watch for sure when they have such great, talented players, in my opinion. Probably a great generation full of talent. And if I'm not mistaken, Alfonso Davis will be in this call-up. So good stuff. And Rodrigo, you want to add on this Jamaican team? Who do you think is your key player apart from Davis, man?
I mean, Canadian team.
What did I say?
Jamaican.
Ah, yeah.
But no, yeah, Alfonso Davis is playing. And also Jonathan David. You know, I think he scored a brace this weekend. But yeah, he's been playing really well. This another, it's a player that I expect, you know, to, you know, give some trouble to Mexico that first game. I think Canada has a really good team. Even, you know, I guess with all the youngsters that they've been bringing up and how well they've been playing for their clubs, it's just, you know, about time for them to really come together more as a team and start dominating a little bit more. So yeah, I can definitely see them. Who knows? Maybe they go to Mexico and they could do an Aztecaso, which, you know, I guess something that's not that likely, but it could happen.
And, you know, I want to add two more players that to me should get more love than they are getting, at least maybe in the stateside. But the goalkeeper from Vancouver Whitecaps, man, Maxime Crépeau has been like in such great form as of late. A couple matches ago, he saved like a decisive PK in the like literally the last minute of the match, giving his team the win. And the other one is Tejan Buchanan, man. He has been so good with New England. And of course, you know, Canada is stacked on wingers. And so he, you know, may not get the same love that others are getting, but I think the guy is going to continue to grow into a very good player.
Yeah, no, definitely. Like you said, yeah, they have some pretty good players coming up. So yeah, this is going to be a Canadian team that I expect that they should stay up on the table, you know, at least in those qualifying spots.
Yeah, for sure. So we'll move on to the currently the first place team being Mexico. They have 7 points after getting 2 wins and a draw on their first 3 matches. And again, probably sound very repetitive, but they'll play Canada at home. You know, you expect the Mexican team to come out, and I believe there should be fans at this match. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but they'll go from playing at home against Canada, then 3 days later play at home versus Honduras, and then play their final match in El Salvador. No easy task, even playing 2 homes straight back to back at home. Canada and Honduras are very, very good teams. But I do expect for Mexico to get 6 points out of their home matches. You do, because that tends to be the trend with them. And they do have a very stacked team with players such as, obviously, Memo Ochoa seems to be like a guy that's always there. You know, he has more than 150 or 110 caps for the team. And you do have the return of Andres Guardado. Hopefully, with him and Hector Herrera, you see more dominance in the midfield. I feel like they had been missing leadership. That's one thing that we spoke in the past matches. So, you know, seeing players like them, Hector Moreno being back, and of course, Raul Jimenez, which is such a great story after his injury. So hopefully he gets to get some time. Rodrigo, feel free to add whatever you want, man, to this Mexico team that we will probably watch every single game because that's what we do. But yeah, go for it, man.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised that they're bringing a lot of players. I think I saw that they're bringing 4 goalkeepers. I think overall they have 28 players in this list. And, you know, the key player that I don't know if he's missing because of injury, but it's Diego Lainez for me. Has been a really good dribbler that gives you that open space. But you do have Tecatito and Lozano as well, so they kind of do that same job there. Orbelín Pineda can give you that too. I mean, this Mexico team, I think they finally have everybody healthy. Everybody that you want to be there, I think, is going to be there. So I think this is going to be that team that's going to narrow it down to, if they can qualify to the World Cup, this is going to be, the strongest team, I would say. Córdoba's back. And also they have, like you mentioned, Jimenez, but you get Vegas, Alexis Vega as well.
I think you are dead right by saying this is probably currently their best team. Mixing, like we know, the Gold Cup squad and the squad that went to the Olympics. This is probably like the perfect mixture. I think maybe Chicharito, but then you look at who their forwards are, and it's really hard to like say that one of those guys can't be there, right? Seeing Alexis Vega has been playing probably his best soccer this year. It's great to see him in the line or in the squad for these three matchups, which makes it very exciting to see this team hopefully, take more points, add them to their current tally, and continue to be one of the top three teams in the table and make it a little easier for them to make it to the World Cup without having to wait till later in the qualifier round, to get a spot.
Yeah, and I fully expect also, for this matchups this FIFA week, Mexico, to me, they do have the, I think they're playing their best week, two games at home and then going to El Salvador. This is definitely like the biggest chance they have to get 9 points this week. So I fully expect that if they get 6 or 7, I think that obviously still, a good thing. I don't expect them, I guess, knock on wood, but I don't really expect them to, go with nothing or 3 or less than that.
Yeah. And I'm sure, the national media, both that are in Mexico, definitely will crucify them if they don't get 9 points out of these three matches. But
oh, definitely,
I'm with you. I think if you are able to get 7 points, there's nothing wrong with that. But you do expect them to win their home matches for sure. But there's nothing wrong with getting 5 points or 7 points. But yeah, you have to do what you can to not drop points, especially at home. So yeah, with that, we're super excited for this to kick off. Matches are on October 7th, the 3rd, or sorry, let me restart. Games are October 7th, October 10th, and the 13th. So a ton of good matches, definitely exciting to watch. If you're in the CONCACAF region, I mean, this is, the top of the top playing against each other. And everybody wants that coveted ticket for the World Cup. Rodrigo, you want to add anything else? Otherwise, we can wrap it up, my brother.
We're good.
Right. So, we'll hopefully, probably for the last matchup, we may be able to record. So maybe by then we'll know a little bit more of what the points and the table is looking like. And hopefully, it sucks because as much as you want everybody to go to the World Cup, that's how this works, right? So with that being said, make sure you follow our social medias, keep in contact with us, and keep crossing soccer borders.